Good morning, it's 8:35. College sports can be big money makers for universities. Perennial powerhouses receive millions of dollars in profits each year from their programs. Hear how a mid-major with a Cinderella season like Murray State might come out at the end of their run. That's on Front Page AM from WKMS News. I'm Chad Lampe in for Todd Hatton. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Front Page AM, bringing you the latest from our Four Rivers each Friday morning at 8:35. You can hear more on Front Page PM this evening at 6:30 after Marketplace, as well as our hour-long Front Page Sunday at 9 a.m. The University of Louisville, according to the U.S. Department of Education, earned a $16 million profit for its basketball team in the 2009-2010 season. That's a significant difference for smaller mid-major schools like Murray State. But MSU is in the middle of an historic Cinderella story season. We hear more about potential revenue from this season from MSU President Dr. Randy Dunn. We can't deny the significant impact that Racer basketball is having, not only on the university, but on our community right now.
It's been a wonderful season, hasn't it? Everywhere I go on behalf of the university, or even just when Rhonda and I may be out personally or for a social event, it is the talk of all of Western Kentucky, and it's just been a joy to be part of it.
In a recent interview with NPR's Only a Game, you mentioned an uptick in student applications. How did you connect student application, an increase in student applications, to our basketball success?
Well, what I had shared with the reporter at that time when that interview took place was the fact that at the university, we're really trying to take the best advantage that we can, and I mean that in a very positive way, not in that we're trying to game this system, if you will, but we're trying to take the best advantage we can to use the success of Racer basketball to elevate the prominence and the stature of a university as a whole. One of the things that you hear said about college athletics is that it's a front door or a front porch to everything else that happens to be going on at an institution. And we've wanted to take that to heart and really use this opportunity we've been provided with the success of men's basketball team in ways that benefited Murray State. So back to the question, as I talked to this interviewer, I mentioned the fact that we're looking to move in every place we can to forward the success of the university as a whole beyond just the basketball team. That is to say, with the bookstore and with our online apparel shop, we're pushing out T-shirts every time there's a change in rankings, or in the case of Dick Vitale coming to town, selling T-shirts around that event, increasing profits to the bookstore, which in turn we use to support student services on campus. The revenue from the bookstore actually is plowed back into the services we provide directly to our students. We're obviously reconnecting with donors who we haven't heard from for some number of years. We're getting these requests literally from around the country to come back to campus, to make a contact with a donor many times, who we've kind of lost track of over the years. And the giving that we're going to see come out of this season is really going to be quite notable, given the indications that we have to this point. So then another thing I mentioned to the question that you pose is the fact that we also feel that we're getting a pretty significant bump in admissions for next fall's entering class based upon the numbers that we're seeing now. At this point, when we look at the entering class for fall of 12, we're up about 300 admissions over where we were at this period 1 year ago. Now, it's true that we've done a lot of things to change up our enrollment strategies and to work in more directed ways around recruiting, and as part of that, we folded in social media, all of these things that we've really been trying to implement to build enrollment at Murray State over the past 3 years. But the bulk of that work had already taken place. There hasn't been that much different going on in the past years to account for the fact that we're up in admits by 300. So I do have to attribute a good chunk of that to the national notoriety that we've been able to achieve through our basketball prowess this year. And as I'm out talking to different groups, whether it's student groups in schools or getting email from potential students, which I actually do a lot, I'll hand out my card everywhere to parents or prospective students, and oftentimes we'll get a letter or email back. And we're hearing from folks in places where it just wouldn't be usual to get the level of interest we're seeing. And the only thing I can say is that all this attention, all the publicity that's come to Murray State from the basketball success has to be a driver for that in some fashion.
When you receive the new revenue that comes in from the basketball season, how's that divvied up?
Well, if I tried to explain the formula, I'd probably end up getting all tongue-tied with you and embarrass myself, if nothing else. But I'll try to give you kind of a simplified version. Essentially, when a team goes into the tournament, for every game played, there is a share that comes both to the institution as well as to that institution's conference for getting a game. So obviously, if you win, you get a second game, you're going to get that second share that comes given whatever a unit happens to be worth for that given year in the tournament. And the idea there is then that revenue comes to you not just in one year. So there'll be a share that's paid, and this is going to be a fairly significant share in the tens of thousands of dollars typically for every game appearance in the NCAA tournament. But it is spread out over time. So instead of coming to you all in one big payment, that payment comes over a period of 6 years. And again, part of that is shared conference-wide with the institutions that are there. So if you look at what success has been happening over the past couple of years, Murray State, of course, in 2010 had two game appearances. We had that first win over Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. leading us to the Butler game out in San Jose. So that gave us two appearances. Morehead State had a very successful run. That helped. We hope that we're in, if not to the Sweet 16 at least, maybe even beyond that. So all of those shares accumulate and are paid out over a six-year period. So we're going to see a significant increase in revenue from the NCAA tournament appearances that also goes beyond T-shirt sales, sold-out CFSB Center, and the things that come along with that level of success. Now, the challenge becomes using that or stewarding those extra resources in such a way that we're able to build the program with it. We don't overextend ourselves, which is always the challenge of a mid-major, but to ensure that we're plowing an appropriate amount of that back into support of the program to keep the success we've had sustained over time. And not just for men's basketball, obviously, but to support all of our athletic endeavors at the university. And we do try to be very thoughtful and careful in the way we approach the use of that additional revenue to build all of our programs.
So it stays within the athletic department.
Well, it comes to the general fund of the university. But as that windfall, if I can use that term, is made available to us, I sit and talk with our vice president for financial and administrative services, Tom Denton, our athletic director, Alan Ward, others who are working on the budget to figure out, all right, with this money coming in to the general fund, what is the best and highest use that we can make of that, not only for supporting men's basketball, but racer athletics generally, as well as the university as a whole. The idea that I think is important, particularly for a place like ours, is that there's an opportunity for the entire institution to benefit from the success that we're able to have.
And so there's no income from any television network for receiving national coverage on ESPN.
Income that comes into the conference and is divided on a share basis with the member institutions. But again, I would come back to say, for all of these different sources of funding, these avenues for revenue, we look at that as a whole as it comes to the general fund and try to make some very good decisions about where to use that additional money or that overage that we wouldn't have expected in an average year, let's say, to move the ball forward in a lot of areas.
So as we talk about revenue coming into the university from athletics, where does Murray State stand on athlete compensation?
Well, you're raising an issue that for this segment, I may fill the remaining time in it. You may be referring to, Chad, to an NCAA proposal that would have provided $2,000 per student athlete to help in covering the additional costs of attendance for a student athlete to attend school. Now, there was a proposal that went up through the NCAA. It was overridden. Now, this is a whole other area that I could get into and probably get myself in trouble, but you really need to be a Philadelphia lawyer to understand how the NCAA gets decisions made within its governance structure. But that being said, there was a proposal to provide this $2,000 per student athlete that would have been up to the institutions and conferences to help cover unmet costs. Some saw that as a pay-to-play type of proposition. I will share with you that I didn't. For the typical student athlete, there are unmet needs that attach to coming to school, sometimes at a place far from your home, as is the case with a number of our men's basketball players mm-hmm. this year, to give you a good example, that can't be covered from any other sources. We can't have donors, obviously, putting money in their pockets and that type of thing. So I don't view what the NCAA tried to do as a pay-to-play proposition. I do think we have many athletes who do have unmet needs after we apply the aid that we do provide, and I think it was worth taking a look at. Now, obviously, there was great concern among Division I institutions around the country because they shut that proposal down, and we may see that come back in the future in some different form. But this notion that that's just a crazy thing to think about, or we're just, you know, giving salaries to student athletes, I think really doesn't do a service to what the NCAA and a number of member institutions were trying to accomplish with that proposal. The average student athlete is not driving around in a fancy car and living in a penthouse and things like that. Even though all of the scholarship and aid support can be provided, there are still things that do not get covered for those student athletes, and this was simply an attempt to try to address that. The Division I membership spoke and said they weren't supportive of it as it stands, so I think you're going to see NCAA leadership go back to the drawing board and think about how to maybe revise this proposal and come back with it again. And I think that's probably not a bad idea.
Hear more from Dr. Dunn Sunday morning at 9 about the heated debate on the possibility of the private University of Pikeville joining the ranks of public universities, plus an update on budget discussions in Frankfort. I'm Chad Lampe. You've been listening to Front Page AM. Join Todd Hatton this evening at 6:30 for Front Page PM. Tonight, Kentucky Public Radio Capital reporter Kenny Colston gives us a weekend review of the happenings in Frankfort, and we meet someone whose work to feed the hungry is just as therapeutic as philanthropic. If you'd like to hear this morning's or any of our stories again, you can find them anytime at WKMS.org. You can also join us Sunday morning at 9 for the hour-long Front Page Sunday. Thanks very much for being with us. The Marketplace Morning Report is next.